But joining me now is our buddy Aaron, joining us live from Israel. Let's see, I'm guessing right now, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. What is it, about 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4?
No, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, so let's say 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. So you're eight hours ahead of me.
Correct.
Yeah, 8 hours ahead of me. I have to remember that, 8 hours ahead of us. Well, thank you for getting up and being up at 4 a.m. in the morning in Israel.
Oh, you're welcome, Brandon. Thank you for having me.
Do you go back to bed after you do these hits?
I try to. And actually, looking at those pillows and sheets, I could really do with some.
Well,
ship them?
I can say we could probably take good care of you on that one. Just send me your address. Send me your physical address. We'll get you some of those sheets and towels. I'm not kidding. Text me your address. All right. So, Aaron, we've been reading all about your country. The terrorist attacks are increasing to the point your prime minister said if you can legally carry, back up our police, back up our military. Iran, since we had you on last, is now saying, Israel, if you even flinch our direction, we're going to attack you. We also now are seeing rockets coming from the Gaza into Israel. What is going on? You guys are having some of the highest terrorism you've seen in several years, correct?
That's correct. It's probably been about 10, 12 years since it's been this bad. You know, you can actually come to Israel, everyone, and it's pretty safe. You know, tourism has opened, the skies have opened, the airports have opened. You don't need a vaccination anymore. You just need a PCR test. And I want to encourage anyone listening not to be afraid. I actually just got back from the States, Brandon. I was in New York. I was in Texas. And believe it or not, I came from Israel where all this terrorism was going on. When I was in New York, 2 hours away, there was the terror attack 2 weeks ago, if you remember, where this guy shoots up. So where is it safe for anyone? But
hey, you were in Texas, and you weren't that far from Tennessee. I wish I had known that. We would have had you in the studio.
Oh, that would have been great. That would have been great. Well, I think I'll be going back.
Well, look at the screenshot. Look at the screenshot. I just went to Jerusalem Post to see what's going on. Look at the screenshot. Security forces called as mass brawl occurs at, what is that, Eilat Hotel?
Eilat, yeah, even in the south. That's in our very, very south, right on the Aqaba Gulf. So the interesting thing is some of these attacks are happening in the most unusual places. They're happening in very, very Jewish cities, very Jewish neighborhoods, and a lot of them are not just only by Palestinians, they are by Arab Israelis as well. So it's kind of like a Trojan horse that's going on. Our security are on full alert. As you quoted our prime minister, the public are being encouraged to load themselves. But again, this is nothing new in Israel. We've had waves and waves over decades. It's just, it hasn't been going on for a long time, and now we have these new waves. And it's not surprising what's been going on. About a month ago, we had this Arab summit where four Arab leaders of Arab nations came to Israel. And of course, these fundamentalists, they don't like what's going on, number one. Number two, we're right in the middle of the month of Ramadan. And Ramadan this year coincides with Easter, and it coincides with Passover. And of course, during Passover, we have literally hundreds of thousands of Jewish people. They come up to Jerusalem, as was commanded in Leviticus 23, three times a year you're to appear before the Lord. So our enemies, they know that many, many Jewish people, they come up to Jerusalem, they come to the Western Wall. And what happened just yesterday, up on the Temple Mount, right behind me, everyone, you can see that golden dome. That's from the Temple Mount. And there was rioting. A lot of people were arrested. A lot of people were wounded. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, viewers, that's the place that it mentions in 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, that David, King David himself, it says he purchased the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. When David took Jerusalem 3,000 years ago, that is the site that he purchased. He said, I will not take something that does not cost me. So he pays 50 shekels. That statement is mentioned in the Bible. That means we have an ancient document that that land belongs to David and to his Jewish ancestors.
So you're saying right there that where the Dome of the Rock, the Temple Mount, was bought by David for 50 shekels.
He purchased it for 50 shekels. We have an ancient document. We call it the Bible. Back in those days, it wasn't called the Bible. It was an account. So he purchases that land. By the way, that same land is Mount Moriah, the place where Abraham offered up Isaac. Of course, the Muslims, they have changed the narrative. They say Abraham offered up Ishmael. It's also called Mount Zion, and that's where David's son Solomon builds the first temple. And then at about 12 BC, King Herod the Great, he builds the second temple. And that is the place, everyone, and my head keeps getting in the way, but that's the place where, you know, there's a lot more and more talk about a future temple being rebuilt.
Okay, you said so much there. Let me slow it down and go back a little bit. At worldviewreport.com, worldviewreport.com, my aggregated news website. Look at that. You're drinking coffee at 4 a.m. You're not going to be able to go back to sleep drinking coffee at 4 a.m., Aaron.
Probably not.
I'm assuming that's coffee in there, so maybe, I don't know. It could be Coca-Cola for all I know. I don't know what you're drinking, but
it's just water.
Oh, just water. Okay. Well, maybe you get back to sleep then. But at worldviewreport.com, I put up a link this week. Look at this. For 30 days, I will report daily the terrorist attacks, the crimes, the butcheries of Ramadan, the Bombathon 2022. All right. So this is what's going on. Look at this here. I guess right now we're at 1,818 dead. 1590 wounded. All right, so look.
Well, I don't know what this report is from, but this is not Israel. This is probably worldwide.
Oh, this is worldwide. This is coming off the Geller report, my friend Pamela Geller. And this is all for, no, it's like Pakistan. It details where it is. Syria, woman shot dead in the fifth section of Syria's notorious Al-Hol camp. It tells you Afghanistan, Syria. Here's one in Israel. Palestinians are clashing with Israel police at the Al-Aqsa Mosque on Jerusalem's Temple Mount. Fireworks launched, tear gas deployed. So anyway, it goes into how many have been injured, how many have been killed. But look, I got to have to speed it up because this just started, what, April 2nd or something?
Yep.
April 2nd was the start of Ramadan, right?
Correct.
Look at how I'm still not even halfway down the list. Okay.
Yep.
So what, can you tell me why there's so much terrorism during Ramadan for the Islamists, Aaron?
So, you know, you really have to go back to 1978, 79, which was called the Islamic Revolution, the late Ayatollah Khomeini, when he basically looked at the world of Islam and he said, Islam has become too complacent. The reason why the big Satan, America, and the little Satan, Israel, are thriving is because Islam has fallen asleep. We need to rise up. And this was called the Islamic Revolution. And for example, here in Israel, most of the Muslims are moderately quiet and I would say peacekeeping, to be fair. Okay, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
However, it's the small minority, the Islamic fundamentalists, the radicals. And let me give an example of how the minority rule over the majority. The same happened in Nazi Germany. Most of the German people were moderates. It was the small minority of the SS and of the stormtroopers and the Nazi radicals that dominated the majority. So even though the majority are moderates, sadly to say, it's the minority. And they are the ones causing trouble. And they were the ones that came up on the Temple Mount yesterday. So why is it happening today? I've tried to read a number of articles. What's this resurgence about? Well, partly it's because it's a reaction to these four Muslim nations that came and joined in the Abraham peace accords with Israel. You got to understand, in 1967, after the Six-Day War, What was born? The Arab League. The Arab League, which consisted at that time of hundreds of millions of Muslims, they met for their first conference in a place called Khartoum, Sudan. And when they met at that summit, they came away with three declarations. And they all begin with the word no. No peace with Israel, no negotiations with Israel, and no recognition of Israel. That's why the Arab League was born, Brandon. Because the state of Israel, because we took over land in the 1967 Six-Day War. So as a resistance, and since 1967, what happened straight away? Yasser Arafat, the PLO, and all of these splinter Palestinian resistance groups. And the fact that Muslim nations are going outside of the Arab League by negotiating with Israel, by making peace with Israel, by even recognizing Israel, infuriates the Islamic fundamentalists. Look, at the end of the day, I don't like to demonize people, but really, when you look at the hatred that they teach children, they have, instead of Mickey Mouse clubs, they have jihad for children clubs. And I'm not
No,
exaggerating.
you're not
I have got.
exaggerating. I actually have seen it. I have seen, maybe I can find it here in my notes here in one of my slides. I actually have, I think it's Time Life. Time Life, even back in the 70s, was showing on one of their covers these kids dressed up and yeah, in fact, I just found it. Look how quick I just found that. Look at that. Time Life. Palestinian Arabs, new pride and unity. Changing careers at middle age. But look at this. This is 19, it looks like 1978. The Tiger Cubs train at camp in Jordan. The Tiger Cubs, that's what it says in the small print on the left. The Tiger
Unbelievable.
Cubs train at a camp in Jordan. That looks like that was dated June 12, 1978, Life magazine. You want to comment?
Well, you know what it reminds me of? A lot of people question why did the Lord tell Joshua and the Israelites when they came in 3,300, 3,200 years ago on a conquest to the land of Canaan? And the Lord told Joshua to wipe out the inhabitants, including children. Now, I'm not promoting killing children here, everyone, but what I'm saying is back in those days when they were involved in the worship of their fathers and their mothers in demonic activity, when you look at what's going on today, again, I'm not promoting incitement against children, but when you see them, they've got weapons, you've got Kalashnikov machine guns. It's very, very sad. It's heartbreaking. And that's why when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for the peace of
Show that again,
Israel,
guys.
that includes praying for the Muslims. We don't curse the Muslims. We don't hate the Muslims. We love them. The Lord said, love your enemies and pray for them. And we pray for them. They believe in Jesus, but they believe that he's a prophet. They don't believe he's the Son of God. They don't believe that he died for their sins and that he rose again. They believe that he simply is one of a succession of prophets. So it's very, very sad what's happening with, and it's interesting, this life picture is from 1978 because that's exactly the time period that I quoted, the Ayatollah Khomeini, when he rose up on the Islamic revolution.
And we did not rehearse this. I didn't know you were going to talk about that. You didn't know I was going to. But what a point of, look how quick we found that picture, folks. Because we organize our stuff and our software. So at the news desk, you wonder why is he always looking off to one side, even when I host with Mike. We're constantly searching stuff. We have a huge database that's ours, that's mine, and that's how I was able to come up with that quick because that's already in a database. So we work hard to keep our research at our fingertips so we can do just what we did just then. Because none of this was rehearsed. We just went and grabbed it because we keep such good records to be able to show that kind of stuff.
And thank you, Brandon, for letting the public know what's happening out there, because a lot of the public do not know. I kind of liken what's going on today similar to when the Jewish people came back to their ancient homeland during the time of Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the walls, the gates, the temple, the altars, and it says they were working with one hand. And they had a sword They had weapons in their other hands. We're trying to build up our freedom. You know, you talk about freedom of speech. We have a free democracy in the Middle East. We allow Arabs to be high court judges, lawyers.
Which would be like our Supreme Court. So you're not a you're not an apartheid state as the folks with the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, sanctions, the BDS movement, which I compare very much to the Night of the Broken Glass or Kristallnacht in Germany that started off the Holocaust, where they broke the Jewish shops, marked them with stars of David, told or J, told them not to shop there. The Night of the Kristallnacht or Broken Glass was the boycott the Jewish businesses. Now the BDS, boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, pushed by many of the communists, by the Marxists, the Black Lives Matter, the Antifa types, along with the anti-Semites, that is the same thing. And they say Israel's an apartheid state. You know, you're racist. Well, if that's the case, why is it you have Arabs, Muslims on your high court, the equivalent of your Supreme Court, and in your Knesset, the equivalent of our Congress?
Yeah, that's a great analogy, Brandon. And I'll tell you why people call us apartheid. Because when the troublemakers, when the fundamentalists cause terror, cause outrage, cause disturbances, our military and our police, they deal with them like they would deal with anyone else, including our own Jewish extremists, which we have very, very small. We deal with them. And when, for example, yes, on the Temple Mount, and our police put tear gas and arrested them, what they are looking for, they are looking for a reaction through the media. They're looking for ways of saying, look at those Israelis. They're arresting us. They're stopping us from praying up on the Temple Mount. And it's a fabrication. It's a manipulation through the media. And sadly, so many people swallow the pill.
Absolutely. Let me show you another screenshot real quick and have you respond to it. This is from the New York Times, and this was back in 1991. Ethiopian Jews and Israelis exult as airlift is completed. This is just one of many that have happened, but this is where the government of Israel went and picked up these black Ethiopian Jews because they have Jewish blood. They're black Jews, and they in some cases. They took out the seats of these airplanes so they could put as many of them. Look, there's a picture from the BBC. They took out the seats, put as many of those black Ethiopian Jews as they could, and got them out of harm's way because they were being persecuted in Ethiopia. You go over there, and you would have found that they had their temple, that they were reading their Jewish books. They're descendants of a marriage between what, the Queen of Sheba and who?
Well, it's claimed Solomon, the Queen of Sheba and Solomon, but actually people go back even before Moses' wife, Zipporah, she was an Ethiopian. And so they claim it even goes back to there. But these two airlifts of the Ethiopian Jews, they were called Operation Solomon and Operation Moses. And it was an incredible moment. Actually, there's a prophecy in the prophet Zephaniah. I believe it's chapter 3. I will bring my people from the north, from the south, and from the land of Cush. And in Hebrew, Cush is Ethiopia. And so we saw the Ethiopian Jews coming back home. And now I think we have about 600,000 Ethiopian Jews living in our borders.
I've
And
never
we're
known
actually.
of racist bringing people of color to their town and city and spending money and risking life and limb. That's a you're an odd group of racist over there.
I know. It's such a twisting of reality that goes on in Israel. And that's why I say, come for yourself. Come and have a tour. Come and see for yourself. Come and spy out the land. I guarantee you won't be disappointed.
Let me ask you about your Temple Mount. There's been a lot in the news in Israel, in the Jerusalem Post, about building the third temple, the next temple. I just got a text where somebody, I guess, went on one of our pages here. I won't say his name because I'm not looking to embarrass anybody or be unkind, but I do think the comment's rather ignorant and even maybe, you know, let's hope it's from ignorance, not from anything else. He says, "Really, Brandon? Only by grossly misrepresenting scripture could one come up with a third temple. I can assure you that the father will not dishonest, I mean, I think he meant dishonor, his son by reinstituting animal sacrifices. Jesus' death on the cross was the final and perfect sacrifice. If you want to know what God thinks of the Jews and their continued sacrifices, take a look at what happened to the second temple when Jesus foretold of it. It happened in 70 AD when Titus destroyed the temple and sacrificed a pig on the altar. There's your abomination of desolation. Quit yanking scripture out of context from Daniel, throwing in Revelation and the end times. You know nothing of the tool of hermeneutics and the subject and creation. God's genocentric cosmology was that with blah, 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 blah. This guy sounds like an anti-Semite, in my opinion, but the reality is, he apparently thinks maybe he thinks the rapture already occurred. A lot of people think the rapture occurred in AD 70. The dude is probably a completely whacked out Calvinist, like most of them are. And if you're a Calvinist tonight and you're watching, you agree with the show, then you clearly are not a whacked out Calvinist. But many of these neo-Calvinists, these extreme hyper-Calvinists, they're preterists, they're partial preterists. They think the rapture happened in AD 70 when Rome conquered Jerusalem. And many of them buy into replacement theology, which is hiding their anti-Semitism. So my guess is this guy could be in that camp. But, you know, he claims we don't know how to study the Bible and hermeneutics. I think we just prove we do and he doesn't, because we don't have the rapture. It has not occurred. We are not in the millennial. We don't see the lamb laying down with the lion. We don't see sin bound. We don't see Satan bound in the pit. We certainly haven't seen a one world government as of yet with the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. Oh, they would tell you that was Nero. Really? So we have so many things that haven't happened that would have proven that the scripture came to pass. But it hasn't. And by the way, who is it who gave us the idea of partial preterism or preterism, that the rapture already occurred? The Jesuits. And you know why the Jesuits gave us the idea? Because they got tired of the reformers saying that the Pope was the Antichrist. Now, I don't believe the Pope is the Antichrist, but if you were around during that period of the Counter-Reformation and they were slaughtering up to 50 million Christians, you maybe would think that he was the Antichrist. Well, the Pope isn't the Antichrist. I don't believe the Pope is the Antichrist, but the reformers, many of them, said that he was, and they put this back there. But who did it originally was the Jesuits themselves created the idea that the rapture already occurred. It happened in AD 70. So the reformers would quit pointing and saying the Pope is the Antichrist, so they put it all in the past. So if you want to, this is so ironic that these people, like this dude here, is accusing us of something, but we just destroyed the fact this dude couldn't spit across the street and hit the truth if he wanted to. Your thoughts?
Well, I want to comment on what you mentioned about this man's quote about the law of hermeneutics. We all know that there are a number of prophecies that have a more than one occurrence fulfillment. For example, there's a quotation that Peter used and Paul quoted on from the prophet Zechariah, and they looked upon me whom they have pierced. And that was quoted when Jesus was on the cross. That verse is actually, in its correct context, is actually for when the Lord returns. And yet it was used 2,000 years ago. So there's a good example of scripture can be used a number of times. Also, you know, when the Lord himself was talking about end time prophecy, he gave his account. I mean, can you imagine when the disciples were sitting around and they may have asked him, you know, Lord, give us your take on end time prophecy. He did. He said there'll be wars, rumors of wars. And it was he who quoted Daniel. And he said, when you see the abomination that causes desolation in the holy place, and that holy place, everyone knows back in those days, that was that place right behind me, the Temple Mount, the place of Mount Moriah right there. So we are expecting. Now, I agree with what he said about Jesus has been the once and for all sacrifice.
Right.
That's a given. No question. The book of Hebrews deals with that. But there are other reasons why God has allowed and is going to allow the rebuilding of another temple. So yeah, I've mentioned on other programs that I've been on, Brandon, that there is a huge movement in the old city of Jerusalem called the Treasures of the Temple. I've mentioned how they've got a place in Tennessee where you're from, the Jewish farmer. Do you remember me quoting
him?
Yeah,
they're trying to create the red heifer.
And he didn't plan it, but he by chance he bred a red heifer. He got the the rabbanut, the rabbis, to come in and inspect it. They found no fault, they found no blemish, and so they offered this Jewish farmer $1 million. And he said, "I won't take $1 from you. I'm going to give it to the Jewish people as a gift." And they are using that red heifer to breed other red heifers. They've got the priestly garments, the priestly instruments. And what you mentioned before, it doesn't necessarily have to be a massively King Herod size temple that will need to be rebuilt. It can be like a tabernacle, a portable set up temple, as long as the sacrificial and the priestly institution gets reinstituted.
And they already
That's
have
the
that
most
going on
important.
with the Temple Institute. I mean, I bet you take tours. Tell them about the Temple Institute and what they'll find while I look it up.
So yeah, in the heart of Jerusalem, in the Jewish quarter, the old city of Jerusalem has four quarters, and in the Jewish quarter, there is a place called the Treasures of the Temple Institution, led by Rabbi Chaim Reichman, and you go in and you actually see some of the priestly garments. You will see the robes. You will see the breastplate. Just literally a couple of 100 meters from that institution, outside in the heart of the Jewish quarter, is the actual menorah, the seven branch candelabrum with 100 pounds of gold coating. It's not pure gold, but it's coated with 100 pounds. It's 47 kilos, and it's shaped in the mosaic from Exodus 32, I believe, where the Lord told Moses to mete out six branches and one in the middle with almond, with flowers. It's a beautiful menorah, and that's going to be placed in the temple.
While you're talking,
The
let
Jew.
look at this. Look at this. This is right from their website. Show this, Logan. What are we looking at here, Aaron?
There you go. So that's a model. That's inside the treasures of the temple. That's the model of what it will look like. There's the priestly trumpets, the place that they stand on the corner. They blow for the calling. There's the harps that will be for the worshippers if they institute worship. There, the Kadosh La'Adonai, holiness unto the Lord, the high priest's helmet. There's the breastplate with the 12 stones that I mentioned. It's all getting ready. Well, that's not the menorah, but that's a picture of what the menorah will be. And there's pictures, and that's exactly the foyer of the treasures of the temple institution. You can come. There's the Ark of the Covenant, but that's not the real one. We don't know where that is. Some people say that Indiana Jones knew where it was, but he hasn't let on.
He hasn't
That's
let
another
on.
topic.
Some have said it's under the Temple Mount, right?
Well, that man, Chaim Reichman, the director of that institute, he wrote it in his book from the 1970s when he did an illegal or a secretive dig underneath, that he said, "I saw something that I'm not allowed to make public." Your guess is as good as mine what he was referring to. It could have been the ark.
And he
It's all
goes, if you go back
speculation.
to the site here, they have one section under study tools. You can click red heifer, and they have a where they keep a whole update on the red heifer that they're looking for in order to have that perfect red heifer with no blemish, and it goes into all of it, so that they could then sacrifice that and make ashes to purify the temple. Do I have that correct?
Absolutely. They take the ashes outside because ashes speak of death, and there's to be no death in the camp. Brandon, what's all this pointing to? The pressure is building. You see, in 1948, the temple wasn't an issue. In 1967, when we took over East Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, then it became a little bit of an issue. But now, as more and more Jewish people are coming back home on Aliyah, on immigration, and a lot more of those Jewish people are observant Orthodox Jews, they have a belief that We Jewish people, when we keep the Shabbat, the Sabbath, when we rebuild the temple, the Messiah will come back. It's their belief. I'm not saying I agree with that, but that's what they believe. So there is more and more of a thrust, more of an urgency. Now, I have mentioned this before. Remember King David? He was not allowed to build the temple because he had blood on his hands and he was a man of war. So the religious people understand that we better not cause bloodshed. We better not force the hand of God here. And so how is it going to happen? That's the $10 million question. We don't know. But like I mentioned, with these Abraham Accords and with more peace among our Arab Muslim neighbors, perhaps this is a way that it's going to be that we will be allowed some kind of ecumenical movement. We don't know. It could end up being a war. We just don't know yet. Stay tuned.
You mean an ecumenical movement like, let's see, three houses of worship. Let me get there. Hang on. Three houses of worship in United Arab Emirates. Hit return. Let's see if we find it. Let's see. Because we're going to hopefully find it. Oh, there it is. All right. Here we go. United Arab Emirates. What do we find, guys? We find. You got being built over there in the United Arab Emirates, that ecumenical system they're building, temple, mosque, church, all being built. You want to comment?
There you go. Perfect illustration, Brandon. Well done. And let me tell you, I mentioned we are a democracy. We have not just religious Jews, we have secular Jews. We have reform Jews. We have conservative Jews. We have atheistic Jews. We have orange Jews. We have pineapple Jews. We have all kinds of Jews. But the fact is, we have these ecumenical Jews. They want to hold hands with Muslims, with Christians. Let's, in fact, downtown Jerusalem, any day now, is going to open up a huge new complex that's been built for a number of years now. It's called the Museum of Tolerance.
Oh boy.
And while on one level, on a humanitarian level, it's a great idea, the sad thing is it incorporates not just the people, but the religions of other people and their gods. And this is a big push in Israel.
And again, I want to make the point that this is a push in Israel. You have Orthodox, you have conservative, you have liberal, you have communist Jews, you have LGBTQ Jews, you have pro-Trump, pro-Donald Trump Jews that have actually made coins with President Trump's name and image. I mean, you have the gamut like America. And this guy that wants to write on our website and talk nasty about the Jews, as I think he is doing, and that God won't allow a third temple, well, he doesn't know his Bible, and that they're going to make sacrifices. Well, yes. Can we not keep it? Does this dude know the Bible so poorly that he doesn't realize that these Jews are in unbelief? They are in unbelief. They do
Right.
the things that unbelievers do, whether Jew or Gentile, for Pete's sake. But that's the point of the tribulation. The point of the tribulation is not to purify the church. Why do we need to purify the church? They're already following Christ, Yeshua, Messiah. They're gone. They're not mentioned after a few chapters in Revelation anyway. Why is the tribulation occurring? It is to get the attention of the Jews. They will come to repentance. They will turn to Yeshua, to Messiah. They will become great evangelists. And then, voila, the Antichrist, who made a peace treaty with them and says, go ahead, put up your temple, start your sacrifices, he turns and he starts to slaughter them and sets up an abomination in the temple. So these people are like, well, these Jews, God's not going to allow them to slaughter in the temple. Yeah, he is, because they're in unbelief. They're going to believe in this as their way of salvation. They're waiting for the Messiah. They think Antichrist is the Messiah. They're going to follow him and find out he's not. Then they're going to come to Yeshua, and the purpose of the tribulation will be these Jews that come to salvation in such mass number that no one can count them, the Bible says. And then guess what happens? God comes and Christ comes, puts an end to it, and we roll into the millennial kingdom with all of those Jews rolling over into the kingdom. And guess what? Without the Jews, you have no kingdom. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
Without the Jews and coming to Yeshua, to Messiah, you have no kingdom of God to go into the millennial reign. So if Satan empowering the Antichrist, and I believe at some point indwelling the Antichrist, can then kill the Jews, the prophecies of the Bible are rendered not true, false. God's a liar. Satan can establish his kingdom, which I think will be 58 miles south of Baghdad in Babylon, and Satan wins. But that's not what happens, because Daniel 2 tells us God's kingdom comes, crushes Satan's earthly kingdom that God did allow him to get, and of God's kingdom there'll be no end. But if the Jews could be wiped out, if the Jews could be deceived, if the Jews could be eliminated, these Bible prophecies don't happen. There is no kingdom of God, and we got a big problem. True or false to all that?
Well, Brandon, it seems that I'm reading the same Bible as you, because without patronizing you, it seems that everything you just mentioned, I'm totally in line with. And I think the key is it's not about the Jewish people. It's really about the name of God, the glorification of his name. And he chose a people. He chose a piece of land, a very small piece, which is the size of New Jersey or Wales or the Kruger National Park in South Africa. Very small piece of land. He chose that to display his glory. Even when the Jewish people were in exile, even though he was judging them, he was still being glorified through his judgment. And now he's bringing them back. And if anyone doesn't understand, all you need to do is read the book of Romans. Paul deals with this topic in chapters 9, 10, and 11. And he talks about the Jews and he says they have been hardened in part. And that means when it comes to the gospel, they have been hardened, they've been blinded. But it's only in part. He still has a covenant relationship with them. But then he says, God has hardened them so that he can bring salvation to the Gentiles. And when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then all Israel will be saved. And this is going to happen. When the Lord returns, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And so it's not about glorification of the Jewish people or glorification of the land of Israel. No, it's that he will be glorified. People will say God is faithful to his word. He predicted that this would happen. He predicted all of these events, and we're seeing these events coming to pass.
Amen. Let me play a quick little video here, Logan. Let's play this. I went and looked at more about that Abrahamic Faith House. It looks like there's a video of it. If it's got any audio. All right, it's just mostly music, so I'll just cut the music, but let it roll. Let's let it roll. No need for the music. But this is, I guess, a replica 3D imagery. This is supposed to open up pretty quick, is it not, Aaron?
I don't know the date that they're planning on opening that, Brennan.
It's in the United Arab Emirates. How far is that from Israel, from where you're at tonight?
I think it's probably about 1,000 miles,
okay,
more or less.
And so this is the Middle East, part of the Middle East, correct?
Correct.
And the Pope Francis has blessed this concept and idea. So isn't it interesting? All of this is happening. All of these, I keep talking about all the things that are happening at one time. You know, all of these, what's the word I'm looking for? Confluence of things that are occurring at the same time. What's happening with Syria and Russia and Iran and Turkey? They're in Syria. They're on your border. What's happening with the food supply? We've seen now the video. I lost my mic. We've seen the video of people now getting chips. Willingly getting chips in their hand, paying for things, you know, all of that, the cashless society, the talk of a digital currency. I'm going to get into the revived Roman Empire tonight. I may not have time, but we're headed toward a revived Roman Empire. You know, maybe I just do this with you real quick, folks. I'll do a longer lesson on this. I was going to do the whole night on this, but we're having such a good time with Aaron here. And by the way, his website is on the screen. If you want to go to Israel and take a tour, you can do that. But with him, his website there is on the screen. But look at this here. This is what I'll do. I'll endeavor to do this someday next week. A rising revived Roman Empire. And here we have 10 unions, the world being divided into 10 unions by the European Union Commission several years ago. North America, Central America, South America, 10 unions. Isn't that interesting? Then we have the United Nations. That's, you see the top of the page, that's the UN. The world divided into 10 regions. Well, that's very ironic because the Bible says that there'll be a confederation of nations, 10 nations, who will eventually give their power to the Antichrist. We have Strobe Talbert, who was a roommate with Bill Clinton in Time Magazine in 92, talked about the end of sovereignty of nations. And of course, he was the Deputy Secretary of State in the Clinton administration. Within the next 100 years, nationhood as we know it will be obsolete, a single global authority. Well, it's going to happen a lot sooner than that. He said that when back in Time Magazine in 92, yeah. So it's happening much, very, very quickly. But then we see, he says, the International Monetary Fund will be involved. Well, of course, the International Monetary Fund is helping to push for a digital world currency. We have all kinds of people. Barry Goldwater predicted in his book in 79 a lot of this would happen. So we see the idea of a revived Roman Empire, even in the Express newspaper in the EU talked about, looks like they're kind of build a revived Roman Empire, for Pete's sake. Well, what's so fascinating is that in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 2, we see that he was that head of gold, Babylon. And then we see the chest of and arms of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire, the belly and thighs of bronze, Greece, legs of iron, a Roman Empire. Then the toes of iron, those 10 toes, that's a revived Roman Empire with 10 federations. What's so interesting is that Nebuchadnezzar calls his buddies around him, his counselors, and says, hey, I'm not going to tell you what I dreamed because I'm afraid you'll make up the interpretation. So here's the deal. You guys tell me what I dreamed and then the meaning. And they're like, oh, man. Oh, by the way, if you get it wrong, I'm going to kill you. And they're like, you know what? We know this guy Daniel. We think you ought to call this dude Daniel. We think he has contact with God. This is a job for Daniel. So they go get Daniel, who's been brought into exile, right, into Babylon, taken captive. And he says, okay, king, this is what you dreamed, and this is the meaning. You are the head of gold. You are Babylon. And then after you are come the Medo-Persian, the Greece, the Romans, and then there'll be a revived Roman Empire. And as it descends in value, it's gaining in strength. So economically, I think it's decreasing in value economically. Wow, all these nations in massive debt today. But all these nations back then, like Babylon, that had incredible riches, no debt. I mean, they were amazing. And then we go into nations after nation. They keep getting more debt, printing money, fiat currency. So they're descending in value, but they're getting harder and harder in the metals. They're increasing in their military might. Look at the technology we have today. And then you got good old, look, there's what a Roman soldier would look like, folks. Show that. There you go. So you kind of see what they would look like, right? And then we go to the fact that then Daniel has a vision of four beasts over in Daniel 7. And guess what? He sees the same thing, this time being that of animals instead of the statue with metals, which again is interesting because then when we go and somewhere here in this PowerPoint, I can tie it right back up. Oh, look at that. Here's your Roman Empire. And then here's what the European Union is looking to do. Look at that. Now, of course, we know we've had the Brexit. By the way, that's not working out so well for them, Brexit. They're in big trouble over there. It won't take much. Look at that, too. Look at that painting from the 1563. It looks like the Tower of Babel, right? There's a poster for the European Union several years ago. Europe, many tongues, one nation. Look at that. And then, of course, the European Parliament building in Strasbourg, France. So we see that, and I'll get into this next week, that Cecil Rhodes and the Rhodes Scholars and so many of these guys talked about building a one-world system that was Eurocentric, a Eurocentric Anglican-American Institute enterprise or establishment. I'll get into this next week. But what's fascinating as we get to the end of this PowerPoint that I don't have time for tonight is that those verses in Daniel 2 and 7 seem to also fit with what we see in Revelation. I thought I had it in here. Seem to fit with what we see in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, this one world system that comes out of it with 10 leaders that work with the Antichrist and then give their power to him. So I think we're headed toward that. And as you see all of these things lining up, what's happening with Israel, the enemies of Israel right there in Syria, Russia, Iran, Turkey, the push of the one world religious system, as we see in the United Arab Emirates. Just over the United Arab Emirates a few weeks ago, they had their world government conference where they're talking about digital currencies and all these things. Then we have the bringing down of America, the invasion of America at our border. Our economy is collapsing. We see food shortages. We hear the talk of changing our DNA through mRNA, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be, Noah, so shall it be today. What were they doing then in Genesis 6? Something was going on demonically, demons somehow procreating with women, creating what the Bible calls Nephilim. I don't think that's around today. Some do. I personally don't. I think those demons were bound in eternal hell. That's what the scriptures say. But something was going on to change the people's DNA to corrupt the line for Christ who was to come. What are we doing now? The Bible says it will be as it was in the days of Noah and a Lot for the time of Christ's return. They're corrupting the DNA again. We see them giving in marriage and all kinds of things. We'll get into it in another broadcast. But all of this convergence of things is what I'm getting at. And there you are, right there, where God says is really the center of the universe, Jerusalem.
And all of that is taking place alongside what you've just said. You've got the Russia and the Ukraine situation and NATO. And with let's see what happens when the dust settles. We don't know when the dust is going to settle from this war, but I'm also very intrigued about those 10 toes, those 10 nations. I wonder at the end of this war whether we're going to see the emergence. But the other interesting thing...
Let me interrupt you before you go to the next point. Because that what you're saying, I'm just kind of guessing. I could have it 100% wrong. Are you wondering that this conflict is going to cause other nations to come together and come into another union because they realize we've got to come together to stop all of this aggression? So what this conflict will do is cause more nations to come into some kind of pact together.
Well, I'm not predicting anything, but anything can happen, and that is a possibility. I mean, we're getting countries like Finland and other countries who are saying we want to join in NATO.
Exactly.
And so all kinds of these things are potential. But the other very interesting thing is Saudi Arabia, who are a very, very wealthy country, have a lot of oil. The leader there, well, the leader, the king, he has dementia, but his son, Mohammed bin Salman, wants to build a city. The city is called Neom, and you can get online and you can see a huge amount of information. And basically, it's about he earmarked $500 billion to build this city, but now it's probably double. He wants to do it by 2030, and he wants to have a city that has more robots than people. And where is he going to get his high tech from? This is why even he is thinking of turning to Israel. He wants it to be a high tech city, N-E-O-M, Neom, which is Latin, and it means a new future. They want prosthetics, they want flying cars. Israel has produced flying cars. They're like big drones, military drones, and he wants robots. And it's going to be a massive city, and they want to build a train all the way from Riyadh all the way to Tel Aviv. So that's something else to pay attention to. But again, it's this new world. I like to give the analogy like a jigsaw puzzle regarding end times. And you know, you get a little piece here and you get a little piece there and a picture starts to appear more and more. And then sometimes you get a piece, you think it's putting in the right place and it's not the right place. So you take it away and you have to wait till you find the right piece. So that to me is how I look at end time prophecy. I'm not a sensationalist and I don't like to over predict things, but definitely what you're saying, Brandon, We've things seem to have sped up big time. I know some places in the world, like Australia, there are some states in Australia that are cashless society now. So definitely things are taking shape.
Well, here's that. Here that is. This is the first time I've heard of it. That's amazing. Here's it looks like their website for this. Built on the Red Sea in northwest Saudi Arabia, NEOM is a living laboratory, a place where entrepreneurship and innovation will chart the course for this new future. It's an audacious dream of a new future.
Donald Trump, when he was some years ago, he said, "We have our man in Saudi Arabia." He met with Mohammed bin Salman, the man on the shorter man there. There's his father. That's the man. He's allegedly been accused of murdering someone, but that's his father who has dementia, who's the king. He's the crown prince, a very, very influential man. And yeah, he wants to bring about this again. It will be very ecumenical. He is not a radical Muslim. He's a very moderate. He imprisons radicals. He allows freedom of speech. He allows freedom for women. Women will be allowed to work. There will be beaches. There will be tourism. It's quite a vision. Now, he's made plans in the future that have not been have not come off. So again, let's see what happens. 2030, Naum, a new future. And as I say, he wants Israel to get on board. Jordan are on board. Egypt are on board. China are on board. EU are on board. Some big financial planners are behind it. Let's see what happens.
All right, let me ask you about this in our closing. So you've got all of these nations forming there in Saudi Arabia or in Syria, right on your border. And it's so interesting because Ezekiel 38, 39 tells us that this coalition is going to come together and come into Israel for their treasure. So I just typed in natural gas in Israel and look what pops up off of Times of Israel. As EU, this is from April 12, 2022. As European Union eyes stopping Russian fuel imports, Israel sees an opening for its natural gas. Gas can wait, says Energy Minister, rejecting panel's call for further exploration. Knesset passes legislation to force companies to pay into sovereign wealth fund. So it goes into all of the things going on with their gas and this large finding of natural gas. Here you go. Natural gas partners goes on and on and on. You can read all about it. So you guys have a lot of natural gas under you, which tells me you might have oil, right?
So, number one, we have a mass amount of natural gas that was found off the Mediterranean coast about 15 years ago, an endless supply that we are selling, we are pumping, we are using. And some nations that have turned away from Russia, even before this war, they started purchasing and buying from us because we offered it a lot cheaper. So definitely that's good for our economy as well. Now, from what I've been reading, an ex spokesman for Vladimir Putin, he actually says the way a key way of crippling Vladimir Putin is not so much through the gas, but it's more through stopping oil, stopping the money coming in for oil. He believes 60% of the budget for the military comes from the purchasing of oil. And if the international community can make an oil embargo, that would really cripple financially Russia. So, but as far as Israel with our oil, yeah, we have oil. We have oil. We're pumping oil from the Golan Heights. You can actually drive past and see where we're pumping. And then in between places like Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, there is what's called the Shvilah, the lowlands, a place called Beit Shemesh, the place where Samson, the judge, lived. There, it's estimated under the ground in that area, we have a plate of oil that has the same quantity of oil that Saudi Arabia have. Now, we have our ecologists, we have our green lovers who are saying we'll never touch that beautiful area of the land, and it's very deep under the ground. We haven't touched it yet. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. But I do know that in the Battle of Gog and Magog that you quoted before from Ezekiel 38 and 39, it mentions this conglomeration of nations. They will come, and it says they will take the spoils from Israel. And I've often wondered, what will be the spoils? Will it be our falafel? Will it be our gyro? Will it be our shawarma? Will it be our good food? I doubt it. But it could be a number of things. It could be gas. It could be our water, Brandon, because we have a fantastic situation with our water. That's another talk. But our water supply is incredibly healthy. But it
Well,
could be
why is
some
it
of the.
healthy? Is it natural springs, or have you guys developed some kind of technology?
Well, it basically, to cut a long story short, it's the desalinization plants. We have about six desalinization plants that turn salt water through reverse
So
osmosis
it is your
into
technology.
fresh. It's Israeli technology. It's cost us a lot of money, but we have a fantastic situation with
Does
our
anyone
water.
else in the Middle East have it?
Not that I know of. I mean, you've got Egypt with the Nile, but that's all natural. Not to my understanding, no one has the same system that we have. So we're in a good situation, thanks to God and thanks to the hard work of people over decades.
Did you ever know my friend Dr. Jimmy D. Young?
So I've watched him a number of times, Brandon. I never met him personally, but a great man, a
You know
great
that I
man of
had
God.
him on my radio show every Friday with a Middle East update for 11 years.
I knew it was quite a lot of episodes.
So we're talking hundreds and hundreds of shows that he and I did together. He passed away last year, sadly, last summer. Jimmy D. Young used to talk to me about many of the things we were talking about tonight, of course, where I learned a lot of it. What about the Dead Sea? Is there gold or any other precious metals or elements at the bottom of the Dead Sea?
Yeah, there are reports of gold, but we have hundreds of millions of cubic meters of minerals, zinc, potassium, magnesium, potash, salt, that we extract and we use. We mix them with metals. We use them for creams, for beauty creams, day creams, night creams, anti-aging creams. I'm actually 90 years old and I use it. You wouldn't think so, Brandon. But no, you probably have gone through some of your shopping malls in America and you've seen Israelis selling it there. But we don't know exactly what's at the bottom. But it's a bit of an ecological disaster because the Dead Sea is evaporating. It's receding about 3 feet every year due to evaporation from the heat. And as we extract the minerals, we extract the waters as well. And our experts are planning on piping water from the Red Sea and the Mediterranean Sea, piping water to refurbish the Dead Sea. But there are big question marks whether it will work, whether it will break up the equilibrium or not.
Okay,
So
let me ask you
that's a
this
big project.
before I run out of time. Are you hearing more jets? Are you seeing more practicing going on for a strike against Iran?
Well, definitely our military are beefing up the talk. Our defense minister, our foreign minister, our prime minister, definitely a lot of talk with the talks with the United States, with the Secretary of State of the United States, and the talks that have been going on recently in Vienna. There's a lot more talk, definitely. I mean, I've just been away for 12 days in the United States, but you know, the other thing, Brandon, is sometimes these terror waves of terror, they are a strategy to get us to focus on other things to keep our focus off these things like the Iranian talks. It's not going to go away. Iran are wanting to build nuclear weapons. We know that. We're not going to let it happen. We'll have to see what we can do about it.
And you know what concerns me, Aaron? I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And I'm very concerned when the Biden regime decides that they want to be anti-Semites when it comes to Israel, then they want to cut a deal with Iran, give them billions of dollars, take the Iranian Revolutionary Guard off the terror list, do the things they're doing that empower them, which encourage them to move against Israel. And I hate to say it, but I think it brings the judgment of God on America. What say you in closing?
Well, that's what the scripture says. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse you. And that, I believe that's one of the reasons why there's been such a blessing on the United States, and particularly Texas. I don't want to single out one state above others, but I know that there's a big history, and in Tennessee and in a lot of those southern states. But there is a blessing for those who bless Israel, because by blessing Israel, you're basically blessing the God of Israel. You're blessing the Messiah of Israel, because what does it say when Jesus was crucified? He was crucified the King of the Jews. He was crucified the King of the Jews, and he's coming back as the King of the Jews.
Amen. Your website's been on the screen, lightofthenationsministry.com, right?
Correct.
Thank you, Aaron. It's our longest interview yet. That was fascinating. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah. Thank you, Brandon. God bless you. God bless America and God bless Israel. Thank
Thank you.
you.
And I hope folks will check out your ministry and grab you as a tour guide when they come to Israel or join your tour guide.
Thank you.
You'd make a
Amen.
great tour guide, folks, don't you think? Someone sent me a picture of him the other day while where he was their tour guide years ago. Sent me a picture and said, "Isn't it the same guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's Aaron." So pretty amazing. Hey, look at the screen real quick. If you appreciate what we're doing, another way you can support my work and what I'm doing is go to wvwtv.com/store. wvwtv.com/store. I've been a distributor of freeze-dried food since 2016, been buying it for my family since 2013, but we're a distributor. Got 12 pallets in the other day, got multiple pallets coming in the next few days, and we're sending out regular shipments. I don't think I'd be dilly-dallying around with all the reports of all the food processing plants burning and tech catching fire and food shortages, because folks, I never know when we're gonna be able to get more or not. We actually had to flip from one company to another because we stopped being able to get any from the one company until at least June or July. So now we're happy to be working with this company, and we've had the food tried and tested. And of course, Jill and her kids tried it for us as well and gave on with their reviews. So again, you have no guarantee, folks, that you'll be able to get this, a month or two from now. If you need to budget and buy so much, you better start budgeting and buying it now, I think. So again, we have a big shipment coming in. Please go to wvwtv.com/store. wvwtv.com/store. Also, don't forget, go to mypillow.com. Mypillow.com. Use that promo code B66. Promo code B66 supports what we're doing here. A lot of those sales, by the way, let's show the screen real quick, Logan. Go here, online store right there. Click that at frankspeech.com. Click online store and then use the code B66. A lot of these are going away. After this weekend, they're gone. So you need to go right now, frankspeech.com, click on the top here where it says online store, start shopping, use the promo code B66. A lot of these are going away. This is the time to do it. Gifts for kids going to college, graduation gifts, wedding gifts, housewarming gifts, Christmas gifts, and put them in a closet somewhere and save some money. Who knows what you're going to get by Christmas with all supply chain problems. Just go to frankspeech.com, online store, use the promo code B66. Carrying the Trump rally, and then I'll be back here live on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time for the Worldview Weekend Hour. Thanks for watching. Take care.